Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
NADBF.
Good morning, sir. K8RUH.
Good morning.
CNN Network.
You're up and at 'em early this morning. Is our 10-year coming to a close? Is that why you're getting after it?
Let's just say I'm not going to the office.
Yeah, did that book close yesterday?
Not yet. I'm on PTO this week, so soon.
Was this planned PTO or last minute? Because I don't think Thursday when we were talking you were on PTO this week.
This was, I got something in my mailbox, or email, I should say, Friday afternoon. Funny enough, at Bubba's. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to take next week off then.
Cool. So are you doing some other stuff with your friend there?
Yeah, that project spiraled out of control. That's turning into a statewide address harvest now for his market. And I'm like, dude, this is like, you know, you pay someone to do this is like 50 grand. So we got to figure something out.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that one. I was talking about the your other friend that you used to work closely with.
No, not yet. That's down the road. But, dude, we'll have to talk off air. There's so much crap moving right now.
I can imagine. So are you just screwing around then? And you're out on the road this early?
Remember when I used to drive really far away?
Yeah, to the other side of town. The west side.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
That's right. Gotcha. So, well, that's cool. So then you're gonna confirm that the chapter's closing in the next week or so, I'm guessing.
Correct. I might be a little bit under the weather next week, but, yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, man, there's nothing worse than being sick after a week of PTO.
Those damn kids.
So this mesh node that you recommended to me is super cool. It's frustrating. But I think I'm getting it figured out, and it seems to work really well. It's just the UI is a little frustrating to get used to.
You know, I didn't buy it with, like, the expectation of, I'm going to use this like an iPhone 4 and type really fast on it. I pair it with my phone, right? Like, right now it's not, it's just sitting on my dash, but I just pair it to my phone, use it that way, because it's a 1-watt pocket node, so it's pretty sweet in that regard. It works really, really well. But for the most part, it's just paired to my phone. I use it like any other node. But the nice part is it's an 18650 for one. So if you had to, you could hot swap the battery. I don't, well, it's not really a hot swap, it's four screws, but that's easy. And it's got its own touchscreen. So, like, if I, in a pinch, if I had to, I could use it as a standalone device. I have been looking at the T-Doc Plus again. I don't know if you looked at those recently, but they redid the keyboard, and that was my biggest complaint. However, I think after using a 1-watt node, I'm spoiled, and I don't know if I could ever go back.
Yeah, I put it in that Bluetooth mode with the, it has that the old user interface on it, and I could not get it. I don't know why it wouldn't pair, but like I said, I didn't spend a hell of a lot of time on it, but, you know, it seems to work well. I've just been leaving it in my car. I had it in the office yesterday charging it. I don't know. It's cool. I got to figure out if I can get it linked to my phone. If I can get it linked to my phone, I think I'll be real happy with it. I'll probably just stay in the car at that point. Because, geez, like you said, a 1-watt, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, part of me wants to get another one that doesn't have the touchscreen because it just works so good and just use that as a portable node and then have this one, like you said, in a car or at home. I don't need another node. I have too many as it is. But this, so for example, I got this, what day did I tell you that? Whenever I texted you the day before, I got this node. I have 330 nodes discovered on it. And I'm like, dude, I'm so sick of these planes. So I went through and I deleted, like, all of them that were outside of, like, 50 miles. Within, like, an hour, they all came back. So the mesh is growing crazy in this area. Like, I've got some in Ohio and Canada. I don't know how that's working. I don't know if it's, like, propagating off over the lake or what. But it's working really well. And Phil K, TMR, he bought one. He got his yesterday. He said the same thing. He goes, I can't believe how good this thing works.
Yeah, I think at some point I got to get up on my roof and put new batteries in my rooftop node. I might just put a new board in it and see, because if that thing's on my roof, it's a 1-watt, and I think I have like a 9 dB gain antenna on there. It's gonna really propagate well. And honestly, I'll probably hit stuff in Canada, in Windsor, and just north of Windsor from my house. So, you know, if you're, I don't know exactly how it works, but if, you know, there's like 7 hops, it's, you know, somebody that's in Warren could hit Canada or even further out from just my node.
And if you can hit Pine Tree, I can hit Pine Tree from my base station. So my base node communicates with Pine Tree, like, directly. And that communicates to, like, everything on the east side and down. So it's filling in. I'm surprised. Like, this is nothing like it was when we first started messing with it.
Yep, and then we just got to get people to start actually using it. It's cool that the infrastructure is there, but without people trying to pass messages, it is kind of just collecting nodes and seeing how many nodes you can collect.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in playing Pokemon. I mean, it's cool that I can trace route all these things and see where they're going and how they're getting there, but I don't really care about the primary channel or the public stuff, but, you know, like, if I could send you, for example, when I used to be able to text Dave at 23 in carts, my house, I was like, this is crazy. Like, these little tiny $50 radios are going that far. I mean, that's cool, but, you know, there's a big group of people out by me that just kind of, like, say hello or good morning every morning, which is fine, right? It keeps, like, that network alive, and hopefully it gets new people, like, in the area into it, but it's, I don't know, man. It's as good as people make it, right? We've said this a million times. If we don't have the numbers, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, and I think you're getting out by you. People are putting them up, and there's just better propagation out there. And, you know, I'm not usually seeing over 100 nodes. I think this one, the new one, I've been driving around with it for 3 days now, and I think I only have like 75 or 80 nodes seen. It might be more than that now. I don't think I've turned it on this morning. To check it, but I know when I've traveled around with other nodes, I think even when I had some, I took it to Florida and came back, I think I only had like 200 or 250 nodes seen. So if you're seeing 300, you are killing it.
That's with ignore MQTT on as well. So I don't know how well that works, but I refuse to deal with the internet crap. None of mine are connected to Wi-Fi. It's all just allegedly organic. I don't know where all these random ones are coming from, like Ohio. Like, I see WACMN Flint, which is not close to me. But some way, somehow, like, these things are skipping around. So I don't know if it's someone's got, I have no idea. I'm storing forward planes. Who knows, man?
K8RUH. Yeah, I think when some of these planes go over, it really puts the network together and you start seeing stuff further apart. That's how I know, like, I've gotten some in, like, Ohio, in Canada, Indiana. I think I've gotten some out of Chicago that way. But, yeah, I mean, I don't have MQTT on any of mine anymore since the network's been getting better. But it's still, you know, still, like, trying to figure out how it all works and how to pass traffic. I know when I did have MQTT on, there was a ton of guys on the west side of the state. There's a ton of Grand Rapids traffic, and those guys are all running the MQTT. So, I don't know. It's interesting, and it's getting bigger, like you said. So, you know, now there's 1-watt nodes for $50. It's like, we're off to the races. This thing's going to get big, I think.
NADDF. That's what Sean's always said, too, right? The biggest limitation is the power. Like, you're not doing anything with a tenth of a watt, a 20th of a watt. So now that we're actually, these aren't true 1 watt. I think they're like 0.8. But still, you're talking 3-4 times the power that we were playing with before. So I'm hoping that these V4s, I don't think they're as efficient, which is typical Helltech, but the power is there and the receive is there, and I think that's the biggest thing you need.
Yeah, I may keep playing with this one. I may buy a second one and put one at the office in Troy, and then, you know, have one in my car, and then just have, you know, the other small nodes that I keep around that are, you know, in my pocket or whatever, and, you know, typically within proximity to one of these one waters, and I'll be able to get out, you know, wherever I want for the most part.
W8RCY. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was out getting my mail, and I came back in, and my radio is blowing up with you two talking about nodes and these how they're gaining in popularity. They've gained enough popularity to the point where I'm interested in getting back into it. And I think all of us can say this, when we first looked at it, it was in its infancy, and nobody really had them. And, you know, I believe Sean may have a few out there still, but I don't know how many people back in the GMRS days knew Mike, one of the administrators to the Troy repeater. He's big into it, and he's out in Clarkston, and he's picking up people. He's up high, of course, in the hills of Clarkston. And he's picking up nodes just about everywhere, and he's really kicking off to it. And he's the one who sparked my interest in it. And then now hearing you two gentlemen over the last 5 minutes talking about it, I may want to look into it as well, because I have height being, you know, 85, 90 feet up in the air. And when I experimented one that I borrowed from John, ADAOD, it quite impressed me. But like I said, two and a half years ago, nobody was running them, but the technology behind it sparked my interest, and I'm looking to maybe get back into it before the year is out myself. Dakota, go ahead, and good morning to Anthony.
Yeah, with your location, you'd probably pick up a whole bunch of traffic, and the 915 megahertz will probably burn through your building, no problem. Like I was saying, though, the technology has come a long way, too, right? Not only are people buying these things more, they're putting these little packages together in a more desirable way. It's not a DIY project. It's not, I have to buy this component and this component and this component project. It's like a turnkey, $50 to $100, depending on what you're getting. I mean, you can get a solar base node for about $100, which is crazy, because when I was trying to build them, I could barely do it for that, and they were not nearly as good. I think that plays a big factor, too. Like, one Anthony and I are talking about, they just went on sale. They're $100, but they went on sale for, like, $52, and they're awesome. They're touchscreen. They got 18650. It's an aluminum case, a nice extended exterior antenna, and they just work. I think that's the reason people are starting to pick these things up, too, is they're same or next day delivery on Amazon. They're getting cheaper, and they work better.
Yeah, you know, when I bought my first couple nodes in, I think it was 2022, it was in its absolute infancy, and it was trash. I mean, it was hard to get the two nodes to even talk together. And even then, I had to solder them together, and it was just a total pain in the butt. And then, you know, we all got into it again in, what, that might have been 25, 24, and to see where it's come from when we all got into it again and then where it's at now is like night and day.
Yeah, my point exactly, the one I got from John, Sean brought it to me just to see how it worked, and he just monitor it. He hooked me up to it so I can send and receive stuff through it on my phone and so on and so forth. And it works pretty good, but again, there were not that much communication, and I can't remember the name of the brand of the one John gave me to try out or through Sean. But then Sean brought me a Helltech, and I did not like the Helltech at all. But now I'm understanding that Helltech's like the number one of the best ones to get, and I've been looking at a few of them on Amazon. Like I think Dakota said, everything right now is pretty much turnkey, and they're reasonably priced. Complete, you know, startup turnkey unit for $100. That's, you know, not a problem for me. Dakota, go ahead.
Sorry, I had to stop and do gas. Speedway just rolled me back 11 cents a gallon, $4.24. That's the cheapest I filled up in like a month.
Hey, Dakota, on your node that you got, is it running on a 906 megahertz frequency? Or, because I think you can set the frequency. Mine's picking up, I got 76 nodes that it's picked up. But I have a different node. I have one of these fence caps that I sent a ping, and they're not seeing each other. So I don't know, do they have to be on 915 exact, or are they on this 906?
That sounds right. I think the default channel is like channel 20, and that's like 906 megahertz. So make sure that they're both on the primary channel and everything's just default. And then long, fast, and then I just set it to 7 hops, and that's it.
All right, I'll play with them a little bit more. All right, guys, I'm going into the office here, KERUH, and I will catch up with you gentlemen later this afternoon. Dakota, I think you're going to be in the car for a while, so maybe I'll give you a buzz in a little bit. Donald, have a good day. KERUH.
Okay, Anthony, you have a great day as well. All the best to you, and don't work too hard. And Dakota, yeah, I got to get to talk to you about some of these new nodes that were coming out, and I'll probably catch up with you in the next month or so. Still dealing with the last of these financial situations that I'm involved in, and got racing coming up all over throughout this past weekend and now through until about mid-June, so I'll reach out to you and we can maybe get some ideas of what to look for I am looking at Amazon, but I don't know exactly what I'm looking at and looking for. So that'll come down the road. So I'll let you finish up. I got to find coffee. I need coffee really bad. And I got to go take my medication because my allergies are bad and my eyes look like they're been run over by a freight train. They're so bloodshot and red. So I don't even like looking at myself in the mirror. They just look. I look like Uncle Fester, if you remember the TV show The Addams Family. That's how my eyes look. So the best to you, and I'll let you finish the rest of your ride. W8RCY.
All right, guys, I'll catch you later. Yeah, good timing. I'm pulling the car wash anyway. But, yeah, take care of yourself, Donald, and I'll catch you later. I'll if I get some time today, I'll send you the link of the one we're talking about. N8BBF.
Yeah, real quick, before you get drowned, drown yourself in the car wash, yeah, I would appreciate that because, I mean, I look at it and there's just so much new stuff, and if you get me, like, get in the right direction to get started, or point me in the right direction, I can't even talk without coffee. That'll get me started, and it would be appreciated. We're clear, WRCY. Anybody hear Sean this morning? This morning how the dog and cat meetup went last night. No response from W8FU. So this is W8RCY. We are clear for now and listening.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, BMI.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KF8GBB Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8GBB Mobile. SI Mobile.
KE8ZFI, this is KF8GBB. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Don't know if we spoke before or am I having a brain fart?
I don't believe so. My name is Andy, and I'm on mobile here, just traveling in between Byron and Lansing on my way to a late start at work.
Ah, very good. All right, name's Greg here. Good to meet you. I am down in the Detroit metro area on my way to a park to meet a group of hams and hang out for a little while.
Oh, that's fantastic. Did you say the name was Greg? Let me just confirm that for it. Slides out of my brain as quickly as everything else does.
Yeah, Greg, G-R-E-G. Yeah, I do the same thing. So I'm going, I think it's KF8GBB, I think, and Andy, so I'll try to file that, but we'll see. So where do you work at?
I own a construction company. We do rough carpentry. I've been a framer, framing houses for about 28 years. So just actually near Bath, which is just outside of Lansing, doing a couple little custom framing houses there. Yeah, just enjoying the heat.
All right, very good. Yeah, we had, it took a long time, but the weather finally turned, and it turned quickly and enormously, so we got some good weather going here, depending on your perspective. So when I'm doing yard work, it's too hot already, but when I'm hanging at a park, it's just right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's good weather for hanging out, a little less good for doing much work, but it seems to be the way it is in Michigan. You get like 2 weeks of that sweet spot where it's, you know, cool in the morning and still like maybe long sleeve shirt weather in the evening. You get that for about 2 weeks and then it's straight to summer.
Exactly. And yeah, even though I'm not out working in it, except for yard work, but I like those 2 weeks at the beginning and the end of each season too. It's just, that is the sweet spot for sure.
So, Greg, if you don't mind my asking, you guys setting up some radios, making some contacts, or just hanging out with a group of friends?
Well, there's a club here called USICA, Utica Shelby, I don't know, Emergency Communications, something. Anyway, most of them are in that club. I am as well. But anybody is welcome, and it's just some hams. They put out a notice on Facebook, a couple of different parks that we visit one or two times a week during good weather. And, yes, we do bring radios. I don't usually set mine up, but a lot of the other guys do. I just do more visiting. When I go to a park, I do what's called POTA. You may or may not know what that is, but it's Parks on the Air. That's when I set my gear up. But, yeah, there'll be radio contacts, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different stations, depending on how many people show up. And then, of course, the visiting and whatnot. We all have the common hobby, so there's always something to talk about.
Yeah, that's great, Greg. I need to get involved in something like that. I got my technician in the beginning of March and then got the general ticket about a month later. So still pretty new, but I have just been diving head first into it. Messed around building a Yagi antenna and upgraded my radio at home to try to do some weak signal work on 2 meters and really just trying to figure it all out. So I'm sure meeting a bunch of experienced people and being able to watch other people operate and ask questions would be super helpful.
Oh, it definitely is. And yeah, you're just starting, and I kind of chuckled when you said trying to figure it all out. You'll never figure it all out. I cannot believe how many different aspects of this hobby there are. I started in late 2022.
I do have a good technical background, including computers, IT, and radio, and so I caught on pretty quick to a lot of different things. My latest one is weak signal work, but it's on satellites, so I just got an antenna rotator that's both up, down, and left, right, and a little Yagi antenna dual band for that. So I'm playing with that. It's my latest obsession, and many things from the beginning until now. So you'll have lots to keep you busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the direction I wanna go, Greg. I initially just, well, it was my first antenna build, so I wasn't sure how well it was going to perform, but I do have an antenna rotator coming, and I think I'll be able to test it a bit more effectively. But I built a six-element Yagi for 2 meter. Apparently, there's some contesting that happens on the upper sideband in a couple weeks. I'm hoping to be ready for that and dabble with that a little bit, but right now it's just pointing in one direction, and it's pretty quiet out there, so kind of hard to tell if it's not functioning super well or there's just nothing happening. But I think the rotator will help because it'll help me detect if, you know, signals are getting stronger and weaker and adjust my range and stuff.
All right, very good. Yeah, the rotator will definitely help with that. Just make sure your match is good before you do too much. And then after that, you can, you know, point to known things like known repeaters and stuff further and further away, and then you can figure out, you know, how it's doing from that point. Never did a whole lot with that yet, but I may end up doing that same sort of thing. And so you want to do sideband, upper sideband on 2 meter. You must have a radio that does that. There aren't too many, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I have the Yaesu 991 Alpha. It's all mode. And I don't have an HF antenna set up yet, only because I got a vertical omnidirection, which is my first one that I was just doing on, you know, VHF, UHF. And then I upgraded to this all mode and built the Yagi, and it's, I was kind of debating because, you know, it's horizontally polarized, so you really can't do much with repeaters because I guess there's a lot of signal loss there. I do pick them up, but it's not super effective at really diagnosing how strong it is, but I did follow the recipe I found online. I have one of those nano VNAs, little antenna analyzers they make there that are pretty cheap, but really, really informative. So it seems to be reading good. Seems to be matched for the frequency that I'm after. And yeah, we'll see. But if this whole weak signal thing doesn't work out, I will just turn it sideways and use it as a beam for vertically polarized repeater work, which is mostly what I've been doing anyways.
All right, yeah, so you know the options that you have with that, so that's pretty cool. Well, I wish you luck with that. We do actually have a 2 meter sideband net down in this area. If you live near Lansing, though, I don't think you'd even get in here with a beam. But there might be something up in your area as well. And I was unable to participate in that for the longest time because I didn't have a radio that would do it. Finally got that, and it's kind of neat. I definitely enjoy that.
Yeah, originally I was trying to, I really wanted to get into satellite work there and talk to the birds, as they say. Having the rotator and the azimuth was a bit much for my budget at the moment, so I went with just the rotator, but I may build a little, I don't know what, I forget, you have to have I see a lot of folks do it with a handheld, you know, like I forget the polarization there, like cross-polarized, or they got the elements going 90 degrees from each other, and I see a lot of people doing a lot of work, you know, with a handheld for satellite, but I think it would be super cool to have a rotator and an azimuth and be able to track it all digitally. It seems like that would be way more efficient.
KE8VSI. Yeah, the circular polarized antennas are a little bit more expensive and there's more to it. I just have what's called the Aero 2, which is a handheld. It's not circular polarized, and when you're using it in your hand, you can twist it so to line up your polarization and whatnot. But just, and I just got the rotator with the azimuth and elevation. I bought a broken one, believe it or not, because they're rather expensive and few and far between on the cheap ones. So, but I was able to repair it and got that working. So that saved me the hassle of all the money. So I mounted the handheld on the rotator, and that I'm just now getting to the point where I'm going to take it to the field. It's operating inside my house for now. But to start out with, you can certainly get that and talk to the repeater on the space station, no problem. Actually, I do that with a vertical. I've done it from my car, actually, as well. So the space station's an easy one to start out with. I would start there.
KFACCB. So you can hit the space station with a vertical from your car?
Yes, I've always had the receive side set up in my scan on my mobile. Actually, well, both the receive and transmit. But and one day I was just driving down I-75 just north of Detroit, and a pass was overhead, and it stopped on the scan, and I heard people talking, so I tried to make a contact, and was successful. So that was crazy. It's usually pretty busy and a lot of fading in and out in that situation, but I got it done. I also have an outdoor diamond antenna about 30 feet high at my house. That's what I do most of it with, or until I got this Jaggy. But that one works quite well. You can, every day I can make a contact on the space station if there's an overhead pass. So, yeah, you can certainly do that. None of the other birds will work, because the space station is just that much more powerful. You got to consider how much power they have available up there as opposed to just a satellite. So the other satellites are much weaker and a lot of times farther away.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think I've studied a little bit of it. They're like operating on like a quad or something, really, really weak, but I am definitely going to tune in, get those stations programmed in. I don't have I forget what the proper radio is that you're supposed to use for satellite work. It's a full dual. Maybe you can correct me on the terminology there. My mobile radio has two channels, so I could monitor one channel and then, you know, transmit on the other, but it's not, I can't listen while I'm transmitting. I forget what that's called.
Yeah, that'd be operating in full duplex mode on a dual receive radio. You don't need that. Your 991A will do the space station no problem. You won't be able to hear yourself, but you'll be transmitting on VHF and receiving on UHF, so you need a dual band antenna, and it works pretty good. You'll also need something to adjust for the Doppler, because the frequency changes as it crosses the sky. I don't know if you're a Windows or a Mac user. If most people are Windows, you use a program called SatPC32, and that'll take care of that for you. So, in different radios do it different ways, but with what you told me you have, that's what the way I would go.
Roger that. And does that take control of your radio and adjust, or does it just show you the information that you have to adjust manually?
It will take control of your radio. It'll do cat control and adjust the frequencies on both the UHF and the VHF as the pass crosses the sky. It's much easier than doing it by hand. You can do that too, but it's cumbersome.
If you don't mind, could you repeat the name of that software? I have a Mac, but it has a Windows emulator as well, so you can kind of go in either direction there.
right, well, I'll give you two then. I'm a Mac user as well. I would highly recommend Mac Doppler, MacDoppler, Mac Doppler, by Dog Park Software. I've got Mac Doppler and Mac Logger DX for my logging, both great programs. If you want to do the Windows side, it's SATPC32, SATPC32.
ADHAL.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Thanks for repeating that. Station that just checked in there, go ahead, sir.
No problem. I was just going to echo the Mac Doppler. And if you're dealing with talking to a radio, that's tricky enough as it is, serial ports and USB ports and everything else. I recommend you don't do it through a Windows emulator if you can help it, and it's much easier if you just use the Mac Doppler. Anyway, I'm learning about this stuff myself, too, so I will keep listening. Don't include me in the conversation. I'll turn it back over to Greg, ADHAL.
KE8VSI. All right, yeah, thanks for that. I've done both Windows, native on a Windows box, and Windows through emulation, and you're absolutely correct. Lots of weirdness when you're running serial ports through an emulator on all different levels. It can be done. It does work, but very cumbersome. So, yeah, the Mac Doppler is the way to go. There's a free trial. I think you can run it for 15 minutes endlessly. Just restart it if you don't want to purchase it right away. And then if you decide that it's going to work for you or you want to purchase it, then you go ahead and do that. So definitely the way to go. That actually does cat control on my radio to do just for the Doppler effect, and it also controls my rotator. So one program does both, and that's pretty cool.
Oh man, this is good info. Really appreciate all this knowledge sharing, Greg. I have run into this issue. So there was a couple programs that I just couldn't get to function well through the Mac, and I don't have a great computer technical background, so I'm just kind of bouncing around trying to figure out stuff that works. And some stuff was easier to do through the emulator, just in terms of getting the programs, but I have run into multiple times issues just getting things to communicate properly, to recognize the ports or, you know, the drivers assigned to one half of the computer or the emulator. Parsing all that has been super unfun.
Yeah, I use Parallels for my emulation. But what I try to do if I'm conquering anything, I try to have a Mac solution first. If there is just no way to do it natively on the Mac, then I will do the emulation route. You'd be surprised. Most things you can do natively on the Mac, you just got to dig around sometimes.
That's good to hear. I will continue to pursue that avenue because it is more straightforward, and I'm more experience with it. Recently, while trying to test my weak signal work on 2 meters, I was reading that FT8 was a good option, and so I downloaded, I'm going to butcher this name, but I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about, WSTXX or WSJTX. And that was hopefully with the goal of being able to see if other stations were picking up my signals, but I just could not get the thing to operate my radio. It would receive everything, but it wouldn't transmit, and it was a big pain in the butt. So I'm going to try it on the Mac end and see if that's any better.
Okay, E8VSI. Well, yeah, WSJTX, that would be your go-to program for FT8. There are others. There are Mac versions, so you don't even have to deal with Windows on that. I would definitely run that natively on the Mac. There's 2 things you have to do there. One of them is the cat control, so it'll change the frequency when you change bands, and the other is the audio. If you're receiving and decoding stations, you've got part of it right. If you can't get it to transmit right, it's more than likely still an audio issue. look me up one day and send me an email when you're messing with it, and we can get on maybe a phone call or something like that. I'm sure I can help you with that.
ADHL. Yeah, go ahead. I know you're talking about something that I actually have more immediate interest in, so I will jump in if you guys don't mind. I just bought at a recent ham swap a Kenwood. I can't remember what the model is, but it's an all-band 2-meter rig. And one of the reasons why I bought it was it was relatively cheap fee. It was something that I look forward to playing with. But really the idea was FT8. So just a quick question. Is there much 2-meter FT8 traffic here in this area? I'll turn it back over to Greg, ADHL.
My quick answer is no. Occasionally you'll get some. There is an actual frequency designated for that. If you use a program called Grid Tracker, you can see when it becomes active. But not really. Most of the FT8 stuff is on HF bands. I do FT4, which is a spin-off, a little bit quicker version of FT8, on a satellite, believe it or not. So that really intrigued me when I heard it could be done, and I went all in and figured that out. That was very cool. And that's on 2-meter and UHF, so because it's one-way transmit and one-way receive. But terrestrial FT8 on 2-meter, it does exist. You can always go to it and do some CQ and see if anybody answers, or just monitor it and see if you hear anybody. So it's there, but it's not real prevalent. And it also depends. There's times when the 2-meter band, believe it or not, will open up to some propagation and be a little more active that way.
KF8, GBB. I have also found this has been the challenge of trying to test an antenna built for a specific niche of the hobby that is not very active. But there is contesting coming up Saturday, June 13th and Sunday, June 14th. There's supposed to be a big ARRL VHF contest. It's like the main weak signal 2-meter work. So if you're hearing stuff then, that might be a good weekend to mess around with it. That's what I'm hopeful for. Over to you. ADHL in a group. Yeah, sounds good. That gives me a date, and I've got a graduation party Saturday night. That will definitely interfere with some of the time, but that means I can't leave anywhere for the weekend. Actually, originally I had plans to be gone for the weekend. That means I'll be home for much of the weekend. So you've given me a specific date to target getting that guy on the air. Otherwise, he's going to sit in the box for who knows till I get around to putting it up. So I appreciate that. And then, Greg, I'll turn it back over to you. You were saying FT8 on satellite. Is that crossband, VHF, UHF, or are there actually solutions or FT8 that's being done 2-meter to 2-meter on the satellite? Because I only have VHF that is 2-meter all signal type, not VHF. So that creates a problem for me. So over to Greg, ADHL.
All right, this will be my last because I'm inbound to the park. So, Tim, I think it is. No, it is UHF and VHF. I think so far any satellites that I've done is uplink is one band and downlink is the other. I could, you know, there might be something that it, you know, is all on one band, but not that I've run into so far. So, yeah, your 2-meter rig, you either need a separate rig or one that does both bands. And, of course, they would both have to be sideband capable for FT8. And one caveat there was FT4 on the satellite, not FT8. Not that that matters, because WSJC, you just simply make a toggle and you switch between the two different modes. So, anyway, Andy, good meeting with you. Good talking to you. My email's good on QRZ if you want to look me up. And I'm going to be checking out here as I'm entering the park. K8DSI, I'll listen out.
KF8GVB. Greg, thank you very much for the all the info and great talking to you. Have fun out there in the park, and I will look you up on QRZ.
73 to you, sir. And Jim, I think it was 88JL. Let me know if I got that correct. Nice to hear from you, sir. This is I'm going to sign off as well. I'm getting close to my destination. So 73s, guys, have a great day. Thanks for the talk and all the info.
Greg, I hope you're going to the park for a POTA because it is an absolutely beautiful day. Andy, it was nice to meet you as well. You got the call sign correct. The name is Tim Tango India Mike. Exciting. Always exciting to hear from new people in the hobby and new people doing exciting things. I'm excited to do some satellite work, some weak signal work with 2-meter SSB. Turns out, looks like I'm going to be on the hunt for a UHF all mode machine sooner than I was hoping, but I can at least get started with some digital work like FC4, FC8, that type of stuff. So it's always nice to hear other people excited about it, and thanks for the heads up on the VHF contest. I'll take a look at that. 73, hope you guys have a good day. AVHJL.
Yeah, Greg doesn't tell anybody he's going to do POTA.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WFUK, Pierre.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. So I got most everything working. Got one question. I don't know if you know the answer to or not. I can't seem to figure out how to change the color background on the display. It's dimmed out. It says disabled or something. I don't know how to activate it. Any thoughts?
You say it goes dimmed or it's stuck dimmed?
Well, let me use a CPS and the option is it's dimmed.
Yeah, no, I don't know where that might be. You know, obviously I'd look up in radio wide control, you know, or I don't know where exactly in radio wide, but display maybe, radio wide display.
Yeah, that's where I was looking, and then like I said, there's a choice to change color, or it's grayed out and disabled. So I figured there must be another setting somewhere that you have to turn on, and I just cannot seem to find it.
Are you sure that control head can change colors? I don't know. I know the E5 can, but I'm not sure about the others.
Well, that's a good point, because everything I see says that the background should be like red or green or white, and mine is black on the UHF and blue on VHF.
Well, that does seem to indicate that it's something you can adjust, so but, I'd have to look around.
All right, just so you know, I've got one more thing to figure out. I got the, I hooked in the second speaker to the second deck. So you got to do it through the DB25, accomplish that. I'm trying to figure out if there's some way I can use one speaker for both decks. It tells you, you know, everything I've read is, you know, there's voltages, there's some DC voltage on there, which there is like less than a volt on those pins, and you should not connect them together or ground, but I'm thinking if I put some capacitors between the two, yeah, I should be able to get the audio out.
get a dual voice coil speaker.
Yeah, very hard to find, and especially in a small, compact size. I mean, I got those big Motorola speakers, but I also got these little ones, the little cube speakers, and I hooked them up. They work great. Good loud audio and everything. And they're small, so it can be easy to put where I want to put them.
Well, they're small. Use two.
Yeah, I mean, running that, I got to run those wires anyway, so, yeah, that's true. I don't know, let's see. I go, maybe it's fit two in this spot. I have to think about that.
Yeah, that, or you have to build yourself a multiplexer, you know, and filter them from one another, so. But, yeah, you're on your own on that one.
Yeah, like I said, I think just putting some couple of capacitors between on both leads, between them, you can block the DC and just let the AC combine. Yeah, I bet it would work.
Probably.
Yeah, so that's my next step experiment with that. I'm kind of hoping I put this in the car this weekend. We'll see if that works out.
A-G-H-A-L. Yeah, that's the hard part, is rolling up your sleeves and stuffing it in the car. Hello, Tim, go ahead.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. There seemed to be a bit of a lull in the conversation, so I thought it would. I just wanted to let you know, Sean, I'm sure you're probably already aware of this, but there seems to be a little bit of delay between your receive and your transmit because, for example, when I let go and I tail off, I'm going to hear the last little bit, probably 200 milliseconds of what I said. I can absolutely get used to it. It isn't that huge of a deal, but I tend to be somewhat sensitive to those type of things, so I thought I would just tell you about it and let you do with that information what you want. I'll turn it back to Sean, ABHJL.
Yeah, kind of an artifact of All-Star, and I don't believe there's anything that can be done about it. We've monkeyed with it years past. We monkeyed with it a little bit, but we come to the conclusion that the best way to deal with it is to just pause one brief second before you release the microphone.
That's good. Like I said, it's not something I can't get over. I just wanted to inform you of it. If you are informed of it, my job is done. I am still 100% pleasant, pleased and grateful to have such a wonderful resource. That's it. I'll let you guys back to your conversation. ADHJL.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Talk to you later. I'll keep you informed on the progress.
Really,
Did you said something about you wanting you think I should take some videos or pictures of something or whatever? What do you have in mind?
An extra millisecond or two in there, but it seems to, like I said, it just seems to be an artifact of All-Star. Anywho, so not something I intend on working on, and I just accept it as. It doesn't bother me enough to do anything about it, I guess. Even if you could, I don't know that there is anything you could do. Never say never, but not interested enough to waste the time. Too many other things, you know, I've got piled up on the list of to-dos. So, anyhow, Phil, I guess if I get some time, I can take a look at the. Program. That's all I can do because I'm not familiar with that control head, particularly that setup. But I don't think it has anything to do with your setup. I think that's just a control head thing in the trunk unit programming.
Yeah, okay, I double with you a bit there. Yeah, no big deal. Well, another interesting thing is when you set them up as dual. The leftmost menu button, or the button automatically becomes a swap button. You can't change that. I was going to use a different button and keep that button for someone else, but, well.
Motorola has other plans.
Yeah, and I was saying, you had mentioned something about taking some pictures or videos of the setup. Did you have some particular in mind?
Well, I just wanted to see what the display looked like and how it indicated which side you're on. I think I understand. It's like a bar on the side, whichever one's illuminated, I guess, is the radio you're working, primary on the left and secondary on the right or something like that. So, but like I said, I'm not real familiar with that setup, so I was just curious how it looked.
Okay, well, it's got the bar on the side, the primary is on the left side, so when you switch to the other band, it switches the primary, the larger part of the screen is on right, and the left has got the primary indicator what's going on, if there's something going on. So you can switch it back, they flip. And like I said, one's black, one's blue for the background color. Yeah, one's white on black, and the other one's black on blue. So I just wonder if I can switch that. I'd like to be able to change the color for different channels too, like just to get a visual indication that I'm on a certain channel or something. And I don't know if that's possible.
Never saw it. You know, anyone done it? I get it. I get the value, but I've never seen it done. Doesn't mean it can't be, but, wait a minute, you kind of, like, tipped me off to something here. You said that one way it's black on blue and the other way it's blue on black. Is that, are they reverse? Because that may be pre-programmed, you know, because of the nature of the dual back configuration.
Yeah, the primary is white lettering on black background. The secondary is, I think it's black. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's black lettering on blue background.
Yeah, I would think it'd be if it were fixed, it would be, you know, white on blue or blue on white, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to look around. I don't know. Never played with that.
Well, that's what it's all about, learning new things. We'll have to keep looking, playing around with it. All right, talk to you later. I'm going to wait lunch. By the way, your audio is kind of low. Like when the other gentleman came on, I had to really lower the volume compared to yours. Are you on the phone?
No, this is my AQ500, so I don't know. Not heard that before, so maybe I was getting lazy with it. I don't know.
Yeah, that was much louder. Now you're putting your gut into it now.
88JL.
Okay, go ahead.
I just real quick wanted to agree. It was the same thing. I noticed that your audio levels were low as well. I thought the same thing. I thought you were coming into the All-Star box directly or something like that. So just wanted to confirm that. That's it. I'm back out of the conversation. I'll turn it over to the other guy, not Sean, 88 jail.
Okay, yeah, my name is Phil, KAPR. Yeah, so I guess you were just getting lazy, like you said. You got to suck in that gut and blow it out.
I'm guessing I just had the mic, off to the side, and I wasn't really paying attention. That's all when I say lazy. So, all right, I'm going to get to it here. I got a kitten we're trying to acclimate in the house here. I got to go check on it, see if it's been back in the hidey hole too long. Then I got to run out and get some I got to get some stuff for it, so I'm going to get going with that. Took off today to acclimate a new kitten to the house. Mostly it's just my dog. He's a little freak, so got to get him to settle down. So we'll catch y'all in a bit. WAW.
All right. Catch you later. TDPF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Delta 8 Delta X-ray. KD8DX. Listening. Delta 8. Delta X-ray, Saginaw, listening.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
It's whoever the jack wagon is.
that doesn't know what the hell this shit's doing on Echo Link, as usual.
Okay. I'll stick.
W8RT, it was not me, but I think whoever was there was there for another purpose, like QRMing, because I heard some, just some things that shouldn't have been on amateur radio, but yes. So, glad it's all settled. Good job, guys. W8RT. Anyhow, that is the point of 1020, though, Wally. You did the right thing. If you can't identify, that gives us control over the radioless nodes, because that's where most of your clueless noobs are going to come in. Echo Link, repeater phone, the people that don't have a lot of skin in the game, so they barely can operate their own equipment, let alone figure this all out. So that's why that's off on a separate private hub. And so if there's a problem, the obvious, quick, and first thing to do is just disconnect the 1020, which is what you did. But I looked and saw there was only one thing connected there and said 2 plus 2 equals 4. Got rid of whoever that was, which we may never know, and now it's all set. So they're doing something funky on their end.
Okay, now is there a way for Tim or I to look and see if it was on 1020, because I didn't have that privilege.
But yeah, just go to the regular hub, kfbi.org, and look down there at the bottom, 1020. It'll show you everything that's connected. Now, the problem is, through all scan, you won't have the ability to granularly eliminate. So you'd have to do that from all mon until all scan. Supposedly later is going to let us put additional nodes, but right now you can only so that was the proper course of action. But to see who was on and maybe reach out to them if possible, you can go to the regular Allman page and see who's there.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I'm so used to using all scan personally, I went there and it wouldn't take me anywhere, because I was trying to track it down. Yeah, I kind of got telltale finding it was 1020, because when I keyed up, 1010 and 1020 lit up together. So I'm figuring, okay, it's simulcasting back.
Right. All scan's real handy. I mean, it's just real handy and simple, but it's for doing the very specific things we set out to accomplish. But when it gets to this kind of stuff, I'm going to have to probably get some Allman logins going here, and that's a possibility. Part of the reason I upgraded All-Star 3 is for Allman 3, and Allman 3 does allow control operator level logins that have smaller number of privileges than maybe the control up. I got a phone call. Got to run. W8 a few.
Later. Do you want us to hook back up to M1, or you want to wait and make sure this is resolved?
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, this is N5WLK. And this is N5WLK. New Ham, just trying to see if I can get an audio check and see if anyone's listening.
10-5-WLK from Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Delta, Quebec. You're making it into the system all right. There's a bit of a buzz and some bacon frying, but you're making it in all right.
Cool, this is down to my wood damage to repeat it. We need to figure out how to fix the static, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, roger, roger. What radio are you using then? Did you got the rubber ducky antenna on there, or you got something else on it?
I have a kid radio. It's up for $30, and then I ended up buying a wind TV antenna. So I bought a long cable, these connectors, and threw the antenna up in the tree.
Started out pretty hissy and bacon for lots of bacon frying, and then you weren't holding the repeater there for a minute there. So if you're moving around, the radio doesn't work as well, and just gotta hold the antenna straight up and down in the air. But I think you said you had something strung up, if I'm not mistaken. Back to you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I flipped him off of my tree to say, UAPHF, UAPHF, and I'm trying to get it all figured out.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, welcome to the, welcome to ham hobby, and, what kind of stuff do you want to get into, really? It's a pretty deep hobby, and all things communication involved. There's different digital modes, and All-Star, satellites. It's a pretty wide hobby. What kind of stuff do you want to get into?
That's like the $50 million question, as they say. There's a lot to take in. Kind of interested in the satellite stuff. Honestly, it's pretty cool to be able to talk to anyone on here. So, I'm doing a lot of reading and just seeing all that I can do.
Yeah, roger. N5WLK from KFA-EDQ for radio ID. Yeah, it is a pretty deep hobby. I've been learning. I've been doing it for I got my technician's class just over a year ago and went on to get my extra in December. So, yeah, I'm constantly learning about it, playing walkie-talkies and doing a little bit of HF here and there. I was actually just measuring out some radials to put on my vertical antenna at the moment. That's what I was doing, but when I heard you call earlier, but I was just finishing up work, so I couldn't answer at that time. But yeah, that last transmission was pretty good. So whatever you did then, keep doing that.
Good to know. I lowered the slip jam about 6 inches, so I'm wondering if it was the signal was just getting impeded by the tree. And I'm throwing a armor weight in my tree is more involved. Butterflies, so it's a bit of skill. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in HF, but after seeing the prices of them, the things that I would want to do is let me start with VHF and UHF and, see what's on the air. And I've been happy with, being able to contact people already. I was afraid that the repeaters were going to be empty, but, it's like a nice thing jumping, but, communicate with people. This is N5WLK.
Yeah, I got you. N5WLK, KFA-EDQ. Yeah, it's a bit of a price tag to jump up into HF. You can pick up, you can pick up a G90. I don't know how to pronounce the brand name. You can get them on Radiodity, but yeah, it definitely differs from like a $25 Belfang, getting into the hobby. So if you're, if you just have your technician's class, and there's a couple other systems out there, I'll ask you where you're located and how far away from the repeater you are.
But yeah, the last couple transmissions have been pretty good. I think I got you coming in off the FBI hub. There's if you're still learning about that, there's a website called WACMN. I think it's .com or .net or something. It might be .org for all I know, but if you search for WACMN, you'll find all the information about the MI-1 network, which we're talking about now, and then MI-2, which is VHF, and they got 200. They got MI-5, which is DMR. So if you ever get into that, that's a trip, too.
Yeah, I'm over on the east side of Detroit. I'm over in Gross Point. So, again, I'm talking to you through KFBI. Where are you located?
Roger, this is KFAEDQ, Mike, in Saginaw. I'm in Saginaw Township. Northern part of it, if you're familiar with the area, not too far away from Freeland area. Like, I'm in between the Saginaw City and Freeland, out in the township, and then I'm coming in off the BERT repeater. There's another one that's a little bit closer, but it can be finicky from time to time. So I end up favoring the BERT repeater a little bit more, but I scan both of them.
That's pretty cool, pretty darn cool that I'm here in Saginaw and in the Detroit area. Yeah, I was fully expecting you to say that you were all, you know, that you were in Warren, somewhere in the Detroit area. But that's, yeah, I know about the repeater network. You know, it's mostly a case of just trying to, you know, get the repeaters I can with the equipment that I have.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Yeah, there are 12 repeaters hooked up to this system, and I think that there's over 30 on the MI5 DMR network. So that, if you ever get a chance to look at that webpage, that's pretty impressive. And you know, DMR, it's neat. It definitely sounds different, and I don't know, it's something to get into the internet radio. But yeah, I'm all the way up here in Saginaw. Like I said, there's 12 repeaters hooked up to this, ranging from Flint, Mount Clemens, Mayville, Dansville, Levering. There's one here in James Township, and another one over by Burt, like I said, I was connecting to. But yeah, it's an interesting hobby. Probably my favorite part is programming the radios, though, just to be honest. you know, for the different places I go to, I like to have a different set of channels that I go to when I'm traveling.
I definitely, I personally do enjoy the tinkering aspect. That's part of the reason why I bought this $30 radio over a different $30 radio, with the ability to tinker with the firmware, all that type of stuff. But yeah, going back, you were talking about the T90. Yeah, I am. Definitely aware of it. It definitely looks cool, but I know it's only $400. It's still a lot, but it's better than buying $600 or something like that for over close to a grand. But yeah, I mean, again, I've been having a good time with VHF and UHF, so thanks for now.
Yeah, Roger. N5WLK, KFAEDQ. Yeah, wait. If you've never heard of All-Star, wait till you get a load of that, because that allows you to use the power of the internet to get through to a repeater directly. So it doesn't really matter how far away you are; you'll come in perfect every single time. I don't abuse that too much. I mean, it's there's a couple of repeaters up north that I like to talk on, like to listen and participate in nets and stuff like that, but. Yeah, there's plenty of repeaters to get in an RF in my area, too, so I've got no complaints. So, but all right, my friend, I appreciate the QSO, and maybe we'll do it again. Like I said, the name's Mike, and maybe we'll talk again. KFAEDQ, I'll be clear on your final.
Thank you very much, Mike. KFAEDQ, this is Ben, N5WLK. And yeah, great chatting with you. Hopefully we can chat again some other time.
WAEAP. Had a suggestion, or the guy out there in Gross Point or wherever he was, The KC8LPS442.175 repeater might work a lot better for you.
I'm currently down.
Okay, that repeater won't work for you.
KE8RUH. Hey, Eric, you're right, though. Under normal circumstances, in Grosse Pointe, you can get on the LTS with an HT, and it works well.
Connected to CMN Network.
Roger, yeah, I didn't know. Must be something pretty recent. I thought I heard activity on it, I don't know, a week or two ago. Is this pretty recent that it's down, or?
I think it's semi-recent. I think it's been longer than a week or two, but I'm not sure. I've only been hearing people talk about it.
Check. It's working. Well, there you go. I fixed it for you. I just keyed it up inside my bedroom up here in Shelby Township on a rubber duck, so it's working.
Don't trust it. PA is flaky. Some days it works, some days it don't. And mostly not working. It's the transmitter. Receiver generally still works, but the transmitter just won't work some days. You'll expect it, and it won't be there.
All right. Yeah, I don't use it enough to notice that, but good deal. All right. I thought I'd throw that in there, but... that gentleman out there in Grosse Pointe, what do you run? I know you got an inexpensive radio, but what kind of antenna are you running? Just a rubber duck still?
Eric, I think that guy cleared out. I'm not sure.
You got to scare him off.
And we fire hosed him with all this information.
Is a fire hose.
Yeah, anywho, alrighty. Not ready to head out the door anyhow. About 10 minutes, so. I'm standing by. WAPAP.
Alright, we'll talk to you later. KE8RUH, I'll be clear. This is KF8GBB, monitoring on mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
FYI for FBI listeners, we've borrowed the Richmond repeater to the Macomb County ARPSC for the next little while for an exercise net or something. So Richmond is off network for a while here. W8FU.
currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KFA-FKZ, listening.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WVA-KLL-KFA-DIC. One more time. WVA-KLL-KFA-DIC.
KF8-GFL, Echo Link Test.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA, DIC, clear.
This is KFA, GFL, Tom. Thanks for the transmission. Yes, I guess it's working. W8CMN, KF8GFL.